up, Mega Maniacs? It is Monday, July 14th, and we didn't just finish watching Raw because it took us about 10 minutes to get on the air. Apologize, folks. We appreciate your patience. We had some crazy technical difficulties, but we worked our way through it. As Wago said, we used some WD-40 and duct tape and got things rolling again. And we're here live on Mega Powers Radio for our Raw post show. Let me introduce the panelists we got on with us tonight. I'll be your host. My name's Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. And with me, first off, the owner of SmarkOutMoment.com, Fanboys Anonymous, and a very busy man with lots of projects, Mr. Tony Mango.
Hey everybody, what's up?
And also with us, the host of Unanimous Decision MMA and Addicted to Anime, Mr. Steven Huego.
Duct tape, are you serious? Stoop so low.
Awesome piano man in the chat room there saying WWE Network messed with Blog Talk Radio. Had to have been. Or maybe it was Sin Cara, more likely. Oh, goodness. And of course, we should introduce everyone out there listening. This is the most interactive post-Raw experience available, and we always like to hear what you said. Just like I pulled Awesome Piano Man's quote out of the chat room there, we'll always be looking in the chat room to see what you got to say, and the phone lines will be opening in about 10 minutes so we can listen to what you guys got to say verbally. If you want to get yourself in line, dial in area code 760-512-7247 or press the little Skype icon at the top of the page if you can figure that out, and we'll get you in line, get you talking with us here, and hear what y'all got to say. But first off, let's go ahead and get started with what we got to say. Very interesting Raw tonight. A lot of build-up for the upcoming pay-per-view. Other than that, it was pretty quiet, except for one thing that I think a lot of people are buzzing about, and that is the WWE 2K15 commercial we got, finally bringing Sting to WWE television. It was only for a split second, but I think it was a very fun commercial. They had all these people dressed up with Sting face paint on, and they were playing their instruments along with the Sting theme, which I always adored that theme. Great song. This is the start of something, we hope. At this point, all we know is that he is going to be the pre-order bonus for all those people out there that are going to be getting WWE 2K15. It says two generations of Sting, so I'm hoping that means we get Crow Sting and the man called Sting, or Surfer Sting, whatever the heck you want to call him. I'm pretty excited for this. I always buy the WWE games. I've only missed a couple of years, and I'm probably going to get this one as well, and I would much rather have Sting on the cover than John Cena. What do you guys think about this, though, Tony?
I don't buy any of the games. I've only played one of them in the past, like, 7 years or so. So this doesn't really have any factor of me getting the game or not, but I'm happy about it and I'm not happy about it because you looking at the glass half full kind of a thing, it's awesome that Sting's going to be involved in WWE in some kind of way. Glass half empty, they wasted the whole idea of the first time you see Sting on this.
Well, if it's my understanding, Sting actually does not yet have a contract with the WWE. His contract is actually with THQ. So that would kind of explain why it was this and not an actual appearance.
Still, it kind of loses its surprise factor and everything like that. I would have marked out insanely if we would have had some kind of a, you know, the lights go down and Sting pops up kind of a thing. This was like, oh, cool, that Sting thing that was leaked on the internet a while ago turned out to be true. Gotta go get a sandwich. It really, you know, it just didn't really do it for me as much as it did for a lot of other people.
Well, if you had the opportunity to, how would you have brought in Sting?
It kind of depends on what their plans are, because you never know if they have completely different ideas of what they want to do. Ideally, what I would have had is The Undertaker come out after WrestleMania and talk about potentially retiring. And he would have been really beating himself up, saying, like, you know what? I got my ass whooped last night by Lesnar. I can't do this anymore. There's no reason for me to do it. I'm worthless right now. And throughout the whole night, you know, people would be kind of talking about this whole idea of, like, boosting up his morale. And, nah, man, you still got something in you and whatever. And Sting would be the person who came out and just said, you can't leave yet. You got to fight me. But if they don't want to do that next year, then that plan is completely useless. So you never know.
Oh, Awesome Piano Man correcting me. I said THQ. No, the contract is with 2K Sports, not THQ. THQ is no longer in business.
Good.
Kind of like WCW. Oh.
That would be
Wait, what you think about our contract commercial tonight?
See, I'm disagree with Tony. I don't think it's a wasted thing because I don't think Sting's ever going to wrestle in WWE, and I hope he doesn't. I don't want to see him in a t-shirt or with saggy boobs. So, as far as the whole Sting wrestling match goes, that ship sailed a long time ago, probably about 5 years ago when the rumors started. So, it's awesome that he's going to be in the video game. And, yeah, with the news about the improvements to the video game, it should be a fun one. So it'd be cool to have him in the edition.
Now, with Sting in there, do you guys hope to see other WCW superstars appearing?
Glacier, yes.
This isn't Mortal Kombat. Well, another person that we saw in a commercial tonight that I don't think people expected to was CM Punk. They're advertising that they're going to be showing the CM Punk Best in the World documentary tomorrow night on the network. Wago, what does this possibly mean?
Well, I'm going to put my conspiracy theory together now. We had Paul Heyman say Plan C. CM Punk's name starts with a C. They put him on television. He's still on the roster. CM Punk's returning confirmed. No, full of shit. CM Punk... neat. I'm glad that they're finally acknowledging him. They went for a phase where there was just like blocking about and posters and shit. So I've already seen it. It's good. If you haven't checked it out, check it out now.
Tony, how about you? Do you enjoy seeing CM Punk on for just a moment?
Well, clearly this means we're going to get Sting versus CM Punk. I mean, come on.
Ooh.
Yeah, right. That'll ever happen. It's interesting because maybe there are some truth to the other rumors that we've heard. I mean, the Sting one was – now that's confirmed that they did that whole thing with the orchestra. One of the reports that's going around under their cheats now is that they're trying to extend CM Punk's contract and get more out of him for the next few months. Maybe that's why they're doing this right now. Maybe this is their last-ditch attempt to, you know, get a little bit of revenue out of him and suck away some of the money from the people that are CM Punk fans. Sign up for the WWE Network, watch the CM Punk thing. You haven't seen him in a while, right? Yeah, $10 a month, you could see this. And then, you know, 3 months from now or something like that, they release him.
Awesome piano, man. Just burning up everybody in the chat room. Wager, like Layler.
Yeah, like go fuck yourself.
Oh. I forgot to ask my usual question I asked at the beginning, and since we didn't really get anywhere into the actual show itself, let me ask you guys what the number one thing you took away from the show tonight was. And what was that for you, Wago?
I didn't take a number one thing away. It was a very blur episode of Raw. Raw wasn't bad, but by no means was there anything majorly that happened. I mean, the main thing I remember from this is Seth Rollins comically nudging Dean Ambrose's body with his foot.
Did you say it was blah, but you said it was blur?
Yes, blur.
What about you, Tony? What'd you take away?
You know, I thought that this was a really blah-er episode, too, and I didn't really take a number one away, but I think this overall was a number two.
Okay, well, let me at least ask you, guys, did this Raw, at the very least, make you a little bit more excited for the upcoming Battleground pay-per-view?
No.
Yes.
Yes?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be optimistic about that, since I've been too negative so far on the show.
Well, you don't have to fake an answer. Like, if they did, what affected you?
It's not a fake one. I think that anything that I was excited about before, they kept my attention. Anything that I wasn't excited about before, they either added or it's the same. I don't think anything that they did on this episode made me less excited about Battleground. If anything, maybe
I'll tell you one thing that made me less excited. They officially announced the match between Naomi and Cameron.
Oh, they did? I missed that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be on the kickoff show. Maybe it wasn't actually on the show, but it was announced during Raw on either on their Facebook page or on WWE.com, one of those places. Either way, that match was made tonight.
I like how they've added a couple more people to the Battle Royal. I like how they've done a whole lot to make the Intercontinental title look important tonight. And a couple other things. I mean, we'll talk about
that. That's
what
you have when you put it on the satin sheet. Of course it's going to look important.
Yeah, that's true. But they did a couple other things throughout the other feuds that, you know, gave it a little bit more intrigue. And, you know, if you gauged my reaction last week of what's going to happen with Battleground, I'm about the same, if not a little bit higher. Definitely not worse.
Well, one thing that certainly got me excited for Battleground and what was, in my opinion, one of my favorite segments of the night was our detente. I'm a dumb American. I've never heard that word before in my life. We have Lana and Rusev out there on one side with a podium, and Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger on the other. They had a fantastic back and forth. Lana was getting nuclear heat throughout this entire thing. This was some very pro-American town. She did her whole typical stuff, showed Vladimir Putin on the screen. Zeb Coulter returning the favor by showing Obama on the screen, and it actually kind of backfired. It got predominantly a lot of cheers, but there was a good amount of the crowd that was booing when he did that too. So that was a little funny. But this whole segment was so much fun. Once again, just like it was last time we had these two in the ring, lots and lots of fun. Rusev going for the attack, but Swagger managing to grab him, put him in an ankle lock. And at the bottom line, throughout all this, it's official. The two will be facing each other at Battleground. It's going to be a war, and it's going to be a tables match. It's not going to be a tables match, but I'd enjoy a table match, which do, but whatever. Do you guys like this segment, and are you excited for this upcoming match at Battleground? Wago?
I'm excited for the match, and I only half like the segment. I think it went on a little too long. Hats off to Lana. She got nuclear heat, and I said in the chat that we had, but I'm pissed off because I've got a praiser for that, because I don't like her or Rusev. But luckily, she went on a bit too long for my taste, so I can critique her for that.
But, so,
go on.
Good.
So, no, yeah, finish your thought. Zeb's, I found it funny that everyone just fucking booed Obama. That was, I already saw it coming.
Bo-bama? They booed Bo-bama?
Bo-bama, that'd be awesome. But yeah, it was a fun little segment, and I liked how Swagger reversed the kick into the ankle lock. I got major pop, so fun segment, just needed to be shorter, and I think it would have been worked a lot better.
I didn't even know potatoes had ankles. Tony, did you dig this segment, and did this get you excited for Battleground?
Definitely like this segment, although I will agree that Lana's part went on far too long for her own good, because if she would have kept that shorter and she wouldn't have repeated herself, it would have come off a little bit better. But Zeb Coulter doing a great job there. Jack Swagger doing the best job that he's ever done in, you know, the past couple of months of just doing nothing and not getting in the fucking way. Same thing with Rusev, too. Although he did look really odd when he was doing that weird kick thing that, like, stomp of getting ready to charge and do the kick that he does.
He's kind of like a bull.
Yeah, like, I don't know where he's going with that, but he looked more awkward than ever doing it this time. Like, he was, like, off balance or something.
He looked kind of like in those cartoons when they're like, I dare you to cross this line. Like, he was doing that motion.
Kind of, yeah. But, you know, I'm more excited about this match than anything else they've ever done with Rusev in the entirety of his career in WWE. And anything that I've seen out of Jack Swagger since he was feuding with Dolph Ziggler.
The chat room's going crazy with Bo-bama jokes now. What have I started? Oh, no. There's a few fun moments in this segment as well. I think one thing I really liked was when Zeb Coulter puts out the challenge to Rusev, and he says whatever he says in his language and then goes, "This is war!" It's very cartoony, I'll admit, but the segment was fun. That's all I'm going to say. It was fun. You guys agree it was fun?
It's okay.
I thought it was fun, yeah. And I would have eaten this up a whole lot as a kid, too. Even though I was never really, you know, the super gung-ho patriotic type, it still would have been cool to see a villain who has been destroying everybody in these boring-ass matches for months in a situation where he's kind of made to look weak. I mean, he wasn't obviously, you know, weak. He, you know, he's not getting his ass whooped like Zack Ryder would or something, but the way that they locked on that ankle lock, or was he called it now the Patriot Lock? Is that it?
Oh, that's right, yes.
When he put that on, the crowd went fucking nuts because it was just like, oh my God, Rusev can actually get hurt. Good job there, Jackie boy.
He has such thick legs. I actually wonder if it does hurt at all.
I don't know.
I said, I wonder if potatoes even have ankles. The crowd, once again, crazily behind Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger. At the end of it, when Zeb goes, everyone, please rise. You just see in the background, everyone standing up without a second thought. Like, yes. Awesome. Pulling another thing out of chat room, Creep is under radar saying it's a shame that this all ends on Sunday, and I have to agree. I actually kind of hope that maybe they can extend this going out into SummerSlam. I mean, would you guys dig that, Wago, or do you think this is a 1 month deal, or is this something they can keep going?
I don't know until I see the match, because if the match sucks, I don't want to see it again.
That's a fair judgment. What about you, Tony?
Yeah, that really will hinder it. If the match is terrible, nobody's really going to be that interested. But I think they've got a little bit of steam behind them, and if it isn't bad, if it's at least decent, if not good, then they should definitely have something for SummerSlam. Unless that card is too stacked, and then they don't have the, you know, the ability to put them on there. But we got two pay-per-views of Big E versus Rusev. I'm pretty sure we could get two pay-per-views of Jack Swagger.
Now, Rusev, obviously, they're not going to stop doing anything with after this is all said and done. Is Jack Swagger going to be able to keep carrying this after this story is done, and he can, I don't know, is he going to be able to face anybody else keeping this real American shtick going?
Nah.
He's going to fizzle out.
Yeah. Well, let's enjoy it while we got it, then. So, let's go ahead and hope. I am. I'm really digging what Jack Swagger's doing. For the first time, gosh, probably since when he first hooked up with Coulter, this is the first time I'm enjoying what they're doing. When they're, yeah, you know, going against Alberto Del Rio. And who would have thought I'd ever enjoy anything involving Alberto Del Rio?
Well, you said going against. That's probably why.
Oh, yeah, I could like anything that's on the opposite side of Alberto Del Rio, unless it's Rob Van Dam.
That's funny.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines. Once again, if you want to get yourself in line for that, dial in area code 760-512-7247, or you could press in with the Skype icon at the top of the page and get yourself in line so we can hear what y'all got to say about the show tonight. One more thing I'm going to pull out of the chat room before I do that. Awesome Piano Man reminding everyone, the WWE Network preview ends tonight in half an hour, so make sure you get there fast. You don't even need to leave a credit card number. Absolutely amazing. All right. Our first caller always here on the NPR Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio from the 412, Mr. JD. What's shaking, dude?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Absolutely tremendous, man. Once again, we're a little down on this, Raw, but we're always happy to be here on Mega Powers Radio. How you doing?
Not too bad, actually. Doing good. Glad to be with you guys again, as always, every Monday night after Raw. Yeah, tonight was a flat Raw. I mean, it really was, however. I mean, obviously, I did agree with you guys when you guys were talking about the whole Rusev Lana thing. I'm glad at least the communist little whore going to get what's coming to them, hopefully, on Sunday. That's a setback, but obviously, that's probably not going to happen because Lana and her little Vladimir Putin borscht loving ass is probably going to have her man, obviously, steal one from Swagger on the Sedens and his schmoz. But, I mean, sorry about that. I had something caught in my throat there. But anyway, yeah, it was not one of the better Raws tonight. You'd think it would have been a good show being in Four Horsemen Country in Richmond, however. They would have done something, however. I thought originally they were going to do some talk. Maybe they were going to hype up Sting for the whole Great American Bash DVD that's coming out tomorrow. Maybe they would have done something like that. Instead, they have him feature on the 2K15 video game. Then they have Ric Flair come out before the main event, of course. He's just pimping away his thing, however, and obviously kissing John Cena's ass and saying, John Cena's my boy, however, he's going to be the one that's going to win on Sunday. They could have done so much better with this. I mean, there was only really one good match tonight, and that was the first match. Other than that, it was just like a throwaway show, you know? I mean, you had the whole Ziggler-Vandango thing, which was dumb. You had the stupid Adam Rose-Sandow thing with freaking Sonic. Really? I mean, come on. Is that all they had to do tonight? Yeah, they didn't even have a match. Whoopee freaky do. Then you have Stardust and Goldust, who weren't featured off of the second week in a row. I don't know if they've been punched or not. And then you have Cesaro going nuts, however, by throwing the chairs. Now, I don't know if that was intended or not, but, I mean, Paul Heyman was in the backstage we saw later in the evening. However, I mean, there was talk that he might be getting rid of Paul Heyman. I don't know if that's the plan they're going with that, maybe. I mean, it just really was not really a great show. The thing that really kind of also really threw me a curve tonight was the whole CM Punk thing. I mean, they hyped up the video a couple times tonight, however, and I mean, everyone's thinking, I mean, when they saw the video, however, maybe he's coming back. I think right now, with the way, I mean, maybe it's only just a small-term thing, maybe it's not, however, but if they are bringing CM Punk back, however, the question is, when do you bring him back? Do you bring him back at SummerSlam or the night after SummerSlam? What do you guys think about that?
Me personally, I wouldn't expect him back. If I was going to bring him back, though, do it on a big stage. And unfortunately, it seems like they're doing everything in their power to not make SummerSlam a big show, and they're focusing more on either Battleground or Night of Champions. But do what you can to make that show something special, because that's your long-term tradition, SummerSlam. Not Hell in a Cell, not Night of Champions, SummerSlam. But Tony, you're usually our fantasy booker. What would you do with that?
Oh, man. That's another kind of instance of my plans could deviate completely from theirs. Because like you said, SummerSlam is just looking like an afterthought now. I would put as much as possible on there. And that means, you know, you throw Lesnar in there, you throw... you get some kind of a good Shield kind of match going on, if the Shield really even kind of goes by that name anymore. You get possibly some new champions in the mix. I mean, you could do a lot of stuff to make SummerSlam special, and they seem to have killed any potential with that. Bray Wyatt versus Jericho could have been a good match to go into that. AJ Lee versus Paige could have been another one. They're doing it all now, so I don't know what you do.
Yeah, and another thing they're trying to kill are is really dumb. Obviously, is having Nikki Bella versus Stephanie the Bimbo McMahon. Yeah, we want to see Stephanie McMahon in her little horse wrestling gear again. Yay, I'm so excited about that against Nikki Bella. Give me a break. I mean, right now it seems like they're riding Cena and Brock as long as they can. I mean, Roman Reigns, however, I think his time is just, his time continues to get better and better, but the question is, when are they going to make him a world champion? Are they going to wait till the end of the year? Are they going to wait till next year? I mean, right now, if I'm them, however, I would go into maybe the Survivor Series or maybe the Rumble, possibly, as a champion, but if not, however, as the underdog still, and then shock the world, maybe, either at Survivor Series or the Rumble, and come out as the new champion. I mean, it seems like right now, since Daniel Bryan's been out, they haven't said anything about when he's coming back. And right now, my guess is probably, at least at this point, the Rumble. I don't know if you guys heard the same thing. I mean, Roman Reigns right now seems to be the most popular face guy in the company right now since Daniel Bryan left. What do you guys think about that one?
You ain't kidding, man. Roman Reigns has taken it by storm. Daniel Bryan's loss has absolutely been his gain. Roman Reigns is actually my pick for this year's Royal Rumble. I did not expect Batista to win, and probably I should have. I mean, whatever you want to say about that. I thought Roman Reigns was going to win this year's, and next year's only looking way better. But Wago, what do you think? When is Roman Reigns' time?
Roman Reigns' time next year. I say keep it as slow as you can, and the match which is going to create the most money is Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the championship at Mania.
Yeah. It could happen. It very well happen. Well, we'll see. I mean, time will tell, guys. I mean, like I said, we'll see what happens Sunday, obviously. But the other thing that's pretty crazy, I mean, they got, obviously, Flora Rida coming in, however, next Monday in Miami.
Oh, God.
I know. But, you know, what they should have done, however, 7 have Flora Rida. Why not The Rock? You know, his movie's out next week. Hercules, why not bring The Rock, come back home? I mean, keep it low-key as you can, however, for most of the week, however, and maybe just kind of... maybe give a little hint here and there, maybe, but if not, show up unexpectedly, you know? Come back to your hometown on Monday night, however, in Miami. Make the crowd excited, you know? I don't think they'll do that, though, and I wish they would, though. So we'll see, but...
if I remember correctly, when Flo Rida performed at WrestleMania, it was right before The Rock came out. So I can imagine they might have some kind of, like, I don't want to say friendship, but they could pull a connection out of that again.
They could. We'll see. But let's get to the high point, low point of the night. The high point, first match, great match. The main event was okay. It was kind of hokey. We knew it was going to happen at the end. However, the worst match of the night, I mean, I'm not going to say it was a Divas Affair tonight, however, because there was no Divas Affair tonight, obviously. There was a Divas Affair. What am I saying? Yes, the tag match, but no. The worst match, in my opinion, by far tonight, had to have been the whole freaking Kali Bo Dallas thing. Please, enough is enough with that whole believe thing. I mean, the only thing I liked, however, is when Bo basically got chopped by Kali. But, I mean, did we need a cheesy count-out finish? I mean, come on. Seriously? Dumb.
Well, the whole thing with the chops, the best part was when Bo Dallas did the chops back and says, bad giant.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, too. Yeah, exactly. But Battleground's going to be interesting on Sunday in Tampa. It really is. I mean, right now, obviously, with the two big names they signed last week, Kenta and Kevin Steen from Ring of Honor, I think we'll see them at some point. I think, I would not be surprised if we see them by the end of the year, maybe early next year. I mean, they're already being sent to developmental already. They're really high on both these guys, especially Kenta, after what happened in Japan last week, how are during the tour over there. And I don't know much about Kevin Steen, how I've heard mixed reviews about him, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But like I said, Battleground should be a very interesting show on Sunday. But the one thing that you guys, one last thing before I go, I don't know if you guys saw it during the match with Rollins and them tonight. When Rollins took that shot, I guess it was from Reigns, was he selling that injury, or was that, do you think, legit? Because he was really hobbling pretty bad, and they showed the trainer rushing over right away, and it looked like it was pretty legit.
Oh, Wago, what do you think as our former performer here?
Not a clue.
I guess that's something we'll have to wait to see what he looks like on the rest of the shows on Sunday. Hopefully not. That would be horrid timing, considering they just put that Money in the Bank on him. But then again, that's something you can just prolong and have him use the Money in Bank later on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, JD, fantastic call, bro.
All right, I'll talk to you guys after Battleground.
Enjoy it, man. We'll see you on the other side. Have a good night, man. All right, another great call from Mr. JD from Pittsburgh. Anyone out there, you want to call and get your thoughts about what's going on in Raw tonight, what you think about the build going into Battleground, or whatever the heck else is on your mind. Doesn't even need to necessarily be wrestling-related, although we prefer it is. Actually, yeah, it should be. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial in, or press the Skype icon at the top of the page. Chat room, rolling really nicely. Awesome piano, man. Good to have you around, man. We know you only get a few opportunities to come around. We like seeing you. Creepa's on the radar is in there as well. Alex Moorhead, and of course, our very own Stephen Huego, and looks like even Tony's in there under the Smark Out Moment name. Good for you guys.
Don't tell them.
So why don't we just go to the start of the show and let's just run down things really quickly, because I don't think we're going to have too much to say about what went down. Our opening segment had John Cena coming out shilling the WWE Network, which, by the way, you only have about 16 minutes left to go ahead and get your free preview of. He's interrupted by Roman Reigns. They go back and forth talking about who's going to win the championship match on Sunday. Dean Ambrose eventually interrupts from the back, but is eventually attacked by Seth Rollins, Kane, and Orton, throwing them all around the backstage area, throwing them into the garage door that's there, throwing them into a wooden thing. Eventually, Kane chokeslams him on a box, and Seth Rollins gets up, does the curb stomp on him, eventually taking him out of what was supposed to be a six-man tag later on. Dean Ambrose going to the hospital, unable to perform this night. Guys, what does that mean for Dean Ambrose? Is he going to be able to compete on Sunday? Is he going to be pulling one of those shticks where he comes out with some kind of crazy headgear? Or was just a way to get a night off and just kind of force a story into something? Wago, what do you think?
I think they're just developing the tension between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. I think it's going to play into their match of Battleground and just make it... Basically, they're just protecting Dean Ambrose for when Seth Rollins wins.
Tony?
Now that you said, is he going to come out with some kind of crazy headgear, I want to see him wear one of those helmets that you give to, like, kids that you don't trust to not hurt themselves. And just have him, like, do this new fucking gimmick or something.
You know what he should wear? He should come out wearing one of those, like, cones that you put on a dog when you don't want him to bite their butt.
I think it's like Reigns with that, or not Reigns, Rollins with that. I put a Jerry Lawler there and mixed those two up. Yeah, it'll be fine. I mean, they need to have that kind of a match at a pay-per-view like this. And he'll still lose the match, though. And that might even be the reason why he loses it. They might do some kind of thing where he's got, like, you know, he's still a little fuzzy from last week and whatever. But Ambrose will still win. He'll still have one of the best matches of the night. And he'll still lose.
Oh, awesome piano man trying to create some tension here. He's saying Team Stoner is greater than Tony's Tykes.
Damn right it is.
Say about that.
Look at my fucking score. Damn right it is.
Awesome piano man says, Wago, get CM Punk on your team. Guaranteed to move up to fourth place. I mean, he's going to show up on Sunday and be Plan C after all.
Yeah, I'll pass on that, but fuck Jerry Lawler.
What I did think is interesting of who they did say was going to be there on Sunday is Bad News Barrett. He's going to be there to present whoever wins the Intercontinental title tournament. Or not the tournament, but the Battle Royal.
Well, see, somebody else is going to take that gimmick, kind of like what happened with Brodus Clay and Mark Henry in the Hall of Pain thing. And when they are expecting Bad News Barrett to come out, they're going to give you some bad news. It's going to be, I don't know, fucking Heath Slater or something like that.
Bad News Slater? That actually sounds kind of cool.
That sounds like something that would be an episode of fucking Saved by the Bell. Bad news, Slater.
Oh, goodness gracious. Wago, you got any thoughts about Bad News Barrett being there on Sunday?
Neat.
Okay. Our first matchup of the night featured Sheamus and The Miz. They both got a little bit of time to speak before the match. Sheamus did an inset promo saying that he was going to kick Miz's moneymaker off. Miz responded by coming out and putting his moneymaker on the Titantron for the entirety of the match, which was just awesome. Miz actually pulls a victory out of this match, gets the roll-up pin, which usually I hate on the roll-ups, but hey, it's fine. Miz gets a victory. I'm happy with it, and I'm digging Hollywood Miz. I think it's a fun thing to do with him, but Tony, how you digging Hollywood Miz?
Take that, Drew. Hashtag Drew Crew sucks. Hollywood Miz is awesome. It reminds me of Hollywood Rock, but something that I actually could get behind, because The Rock was never like my favorite person out there. I mean, not that The Miz is, but I think that this is going to work a lot better for The Miz than what they did the last time around when he popped up, which, ironically enough, was at Money in the Bank. And didn't go anywhere because they didn't do jack shit with him. I think this Hollywood Miz thing, the heel turn, whenever they get around to actually putting some fucking effort into it, because right now they're not, it's going to work out really well for him. And I wouldn't say he's my favorite right now to win the Intercontinental title, but he skyrocketed from, I hope he's in the match, to, if Cesaro doesn't win it, The Miz will.
I hope he's in the match. Alex Moorhead saying, why do people give a Miz a hard time? And it's true. People constantly hate on the Miz. Wago, is it warranted, or is Miz a lot better than people give him credit for?
Here's the issue, and it's a lot to do with the smarks not liking him getting the main event match with Cena at WrestleMania. And to make matters worse, he didn't deliver when he had that spot. So that's where it all comes from. I think The Miz is fantastic, especially during his main event run. So I'm all in support of him getting this win on Sheamus, and I want him to be the guy that wins the Intercontinental Championship. And I hope he makes that Miz face on the Titantron a part of his gimmick, because that is so obnoxiously good.
Could Miz ever get himself to that level again? Maybe not necessarily main event at WrestleMania, but just main event at all?
I think he could be a transitional champion.
Even in the single championship world?
Yeah, I think he actually has all the tools. He's capable in the ring. He's better than he was back when he did WrestleMania. So I'm all for it. It's just a matter of if they can get enough momentum behind it, because the guy's got all the ability on the microphone. So I think there's a future. It's not a big opportunity. It's not a big future or not a bright future, but there's a chance he could pull it off.
Well, our second match we had this evening was Dolph Ziggler against Fandango, Battle of the Bumpers. This match was all right. Unfortunately, it ended when we had Layla and Summer Rae interrupt and distract Fandango by dancing on the announcer's table, allowing Ziggler to hit an amazing Famouser. Mostly kudos to Fandango for that, but that just absolutely looked great, the way his legs just went straight out behind him and they fell down to the mat. Ziggler getting the pin with the Famouser, which I can't remember the last time that happened. And after the match, Layla and Summer Rae swoon on him and they leave together. Now, whether this means that they're going to be together as the managers for Ziggler or whether it's just a one-night thing, they actually had the breakup of Fandango and Layla, I believe it was on Main Event, or maybe it was Superstars. It was one of those random shows during the week. I thought that was an odd place to actually have the next stage of the story go, but I guess that's a reason why you should watch Main Event on the WWE Network, which is available for 9 more minutes for free. Don't even need a credit card number.
Let me fast forward real quick.
What'd you think about this segment?
I like everything that they've been doing for the most part with this, because it's something a little bit different from what I expected. I kind of naturally thought Summer Rae and Dolph Ziggler would just like have some mixed tag matches with Layla and Fandango, and then 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, it'd just go into, you know, nonsense and obscurity. I did not expect Layla to leave Fandango, so now I wonder what the fuck they're going to do, because Layla really has fallen by the wayside, and she was never the best diva that they had. But there was a little bit of a period there where she really improved her game and she was more fit than she is now. I mean, not to say that she's ugly or anything.
Whoa, leave her chubby legs alone.
But you see her standing on that commentary table tonight, dancing next to Summer Rae, and they don't look like they compare to each other. Summer Rae looked so much better, I think. Maybe that's the reason why Summer Rae moved on in the Divas tournament and Layler didn't. But I don't know what they're going to do here, because they've got a couple different people that have been kind of tagging up with the Divas division. Like, now Cameron's with Alicia. They've got the Bella twins that they keep alluding to. Of course, they're doing this weird
thing.
Don't
you dare say that they should make a Divas tag title.
No. That's actually the total opposite of what I was going to say.
Okay.
The last thing I want them to do is get into this habit where people start going, you need a Divas tag title too, because fuck that shit. You don't. You need that less than you need a fucking Cruiserweight title, and you don't need that either. But, you know, Layla and Summer Rae can't really keep that going too long, and they're not going to keep the dancer gimmick and leave Fandango with nothing. And they're not going to have two dancers that use Fandango's theme. So I think this is just a temporary thing, and they kind of just are waiting until maybe SummerSlam, and then they're all going to do something else. But until they figure out what they're going to do, or until they do whatever it is that they've already figured out, I'm interested, because Ziggler's awesome, Fandango's awesome, and the women are bringing something interesting to the table. So, thumbs up.
Yeah. I wonder if, like, what they're kind of trying to create here is sort of, like, a babyface flawless type thing. But if they were going to do this thing with, like, you know, two girls who are besties and just causing havoc, why don't they just bring up the BFFs all together, if that was the route they were going to go? Because I'm not digging Summer Rae and Layla together. It just does not compute for me, especially when 2 weeks ago they were pulling each other's hair over Fandango
and pouring milk
Wago
over each other.
Wago, how'd you dig this?
I was fine with the match, but then they did the distraction finish again, and I fucking hate that shit. At least this one made a bit more sense with what they've been building up to, but I don't know where they go from here. If it ends up with Dolph Ziggler actually getting some wins, I'm all for it, but otherwise it just kind of seemed like a whole dumb storyline to me that I can't get behind.
Did we get any kind of match announced out of this for Battleground? I can't imagine there even is one. We're not going to have Layla against Summer Rae, so... Huh. And Layla won the only match that they had. What a waste.
Agreed. Wow.
Speaking of wastes, we had a Sonic commercial with Damian Sandow dressed up in Sonic delivery boy garb. What's the proper name for those? Booth attendants?
He called her a car hopper?
A car hop, that's what it is.
Which they the Sonic don't have car any cars hops. There. Fucking Del Rio must have taken it or something.
And he's greeted by who I guess is going to be our new shill man, Adam Rose, coming in. He says that Sonic is awesome. He says, whoa, oh, whoa, oh, whoa, oh, whoa, and then goes away. The good news is the bee was there, so I was happy to see her. Woo, bee! Tony, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, other than the fine-looking bee, Rosita, who looks better than she ever looked in TNA. Not sure what happened there, but another big thumbs up and big some other things up for her.
It's not
Sonic. Sonic is awesome. I love their chili cheese dogs. I love their chili cheese tots. But this segment is shit, and I hope we never see these kind of things again. Adam Rose is just not entertaining with this. Not that they ever really were, for the most part. I mean, any time that they have some kind of a comedic person, or really anybody for the most part, shilling something in WWE, it's always really just beaten down and stupid. We had that dumb thing at WrestleMania a couple years ago with Santino and the Long John Silvers or something like that. It was.
Oh, they had like an eating contest with Mick Foley, I think it was.
Yeah, that was just beyond stupid. Every time we have Michael Cole and the other commentary people, they have like their bottles of Mountain Dew and they're like, oh, this is my third one today. And they clearly haven't moved it the single time. any of that stuff is terrible. The only person who has ever been able to make me actually kind of want any product that WWE has ever ended up mentioning was fucking JR with the Skittles. Because he would go so goddamn crazy with that. And if you want to have him go out and just be like, oh, God, Sonic, oh, fuck, oh, shit, Sonic is amazing, then I'll get behind it a little bit. But Adam Rose doing his typical stupid couple of catchphrases, and Damian Sandow looking like even more of a jackass than he's looked in recent times. You know, Sonic is awesome. I don't need these idiots to try to tell me to go to Sonic. You put one near my town, I'm going to go eat a cheese dog.
Alex Moorhead in the chat room says, Adam Rose just hates his job so much you can see it on his face. Yeah, I don't see the enthusiasm from Adam Rose delivering his typical catchphrases like he used to. You know, he says, hey, don't be a lemon. And now he's like, don't be a lemon.
He's like, dude, come on. Just like, don't be a lemon. All right. It's a long day. I need some coffee. I need a fucking chili cheese dog or something. He's sitting looking at his mirror crying at home.
Oh my goodness. Well, shame on you, WWE, for wasting time with senseless advertisements. And with that, we'll be right back. Just kidding. No messages for that. Wago, what did you think of this?
B was hot.
The B was hot.
Would you say you'd go for an A?
Sure.
Let's just go ahead and move out of this one to the Usos coming out for a match. They're attacked by Harper and Rowan. I don't think we have anything to say for that. I believe they're having another matchup this Sunday at Battleground for the titles. Do they stand a snowball's chance in hell, guys?
I think the Wyatt family takes it, and I hope so, because as much as I love all these matches, it needs to end, and the Wyatts need something to do. And the Usos have had it for that long and just kind of phased out, but I think having some new guys with the belts would really help.
Tony, what are your thoughts on that?
I've liked almost every Usos match I've seen in the longest time, so when they just cut this short, I was a little bit annoyed because, fuck, I would have wanted to see those guys wrestle.
I don't even think they even said who they were supposed to wrestle. They're just coming out doing the Siva Tau, and all of a sudden they're attacked.
Yeah, they could have fought anybody on the tag team division. You could have fought Layla and Summer Rae, or Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil, since apparently they team up now.
But they do?
They did on, like, SmackDown or some stupid show that nobody watched.
Are they supposed to be, like, a rock and rap connection? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Wait, Titus O'Neil and who?
Heath Slater.
Okay, that's just fucking weird.
Otherwise known as Bad News Slater.
Right? What?
We don't have any more jokes about that or else it's going to catch you on.
You got rid of fucking Darren Young for Heath Slater. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely Titus O'Neil's time to join three-man band, apparently. We had a match between Alberto Del Rio and Rob Van Dam, two of our absolute favorite people in the world. Tony, what do you want to say about that?
Excuse me real quick. I'm going to go get my shotgun that I don't have and blow my brains out because, fuck, I'm tired of this.
I hear Big Show's got one you can borrow.
How many matches do we have to see between RVD, Del Rio, and Sheamus? The three main guys that I don't feel like watching, they keep putting in matches yet? Together. Like, the next person they're going to add in the mix and just have fatal four-way matches is going to be Rey Mysterio, and I can just hate every one of them. I didn't actually pay attention to any of the match.
No, neither did I. That's why I have no notes about it. The only thing of note that I did have in my mind about it was it's kind of sad that probably about this time last year, this was a world heavyweight title match. Let that one run through your head. And a matter of fact, a person who was there for that very event, Mr. Wago. So what do you got to say about this?
That match was a lot better, and that was probably because I was there live. I'm a Rob Van Dam fan, but it's like, oh, one person likes RVD, huh? Better put him with Del Rio and fuck that up. So, yeah, the match wasn't bad, but you've seen it once, you've seen it a million times. If it had a trash can going into Del Rio's face like it did at Night of Champions, I would have been a lot more happy.
Del Rio wins, by the way, with the cross arm breaker, for those of you who haven't gotten an opportunity to see the show and want the update. And following the match, Alberto Del Rio went over and started humping the table with the Intercontinental title on it. I don't know if you guys caught that. He was
like, really?
He was seriously going to town on it.
Well, it's better than his in-ring work.
Yeah, like, he really, Nikki, like, literally, like, kind of just, like, humped it. Like, I
I don't know if he was just breathing hard, but he went over. He went behind it, which was the most awkward thing. Like, he goes completely on the opposite side of the table, and he starts thrusting his hips towards it.
What the fuck? I might have to go back and watch this thing and just see the downfall of Del Rio.
At least he was wearing knee pads.
It's sad, but out of all the things you're interested about Del Rio, it's him humping something, Tony.
Well, he's not doing the number one thing I want him to do after all this time, is wear those white trunks and then shit himself. So if he's not going to do that, then, you know, next best thing, I guess.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Funny because it's true.
Nikki Bella comes out. Stephanie McMahon confronts her and just taunts her some more about the fact that she had to fire Brie Bella, and tells her once again she's going to get caught in a handicap match, this time against the crazy Alicia Fox and the bomb.com Cameron. Wow, that's even worse now that that rhymes.
Wow, it does. Cameron.
Stupid. I don't even know who the hell won this. I believe Alicia Fox got the pin or something. I don't know. Cameron, welcome to generic Divas placement, because I don't think you're going to have anything more to go, except there is the matchup between her and Naomi this Sunday, and I would assume that's probably going to be it from her for at least a little while. I can actually see them getting really behind her later on down the line, but immediately there's just way too much else going on in the Divas division for them to put any focus on Cameron. And Alicia Fox, for that matter, too. She had her 1 month of fame with that little crazy chick gimmick, and now she's going to fall back to the wayside as well. Wago, what'd you think about our Divas match here?
The match wasn't actually bad, but Alicia Fox's finish was kind of weird.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's easily to... I tried to forget about it. Unfortunately, I didn't. There was one cool little spot that it was like a bulldog that was similar to Trish Stratus's old finisher, and it kind of rolled through into a pin, which the Bella did. I don't actually remember her name, but which one's Brie? Which one's Nikki?
Nikki was the one who was there tonight. Brie's the one who's fired.
Okay. Nikki did this weird thing where she did a bulldog, pushed off the ropes, and went through to a roll through into a pin. That was pretty cool. But other than that, the match was pretty solid, and yeah, fuck this storyline.
Tony, anything you want to add?
It's got to be weird for Cameron when backstage they have that guy, Mark Curano, is that it?
Who?
Curano or Cubano or I don't know, whatever the guy is.
One of their generic backstage guys?
Yeah, the guy who always gives them like the assignments on Total Divas and shit, and probably does the other shit too, but he's apparently the guy who calls everybody now. He pulls the John Laurinaitis thing and says you're fired and everything. But it's got to be awkward backstage where they go, look, Cameron, we got some good news, we got some bad news. Good news, you still have a job after breaking up with the Funkadactyls thing.
Bad news, you got to suck Michael Hayes' cock again.
The bad news is you're getting the Oksana spot where you're just going to team up with a bunch of people. You're going to be in matches where the focal point is your opponent, and you might win it, but you're not going to be the one getting the pinfall.
Well, if it's bad news, wouldn't it be delivered by Heath Slater?
Not until Battleground, where he officially takes the gimmick over.
Oh, okay.
Right now, he's like a secondary source. Like, he hears from somebody else and passes it on.
Right now, he's just kind of like unfortunate news Slater.
Right now, he's hearsay.
Sunday is going to be coming out.
Right now, he's hearsay Heath. He passes on the information to hear from somebody else.
This
joke better not have legs.
No, they had a gimmick like that. I don't know if you guys remember Just Joe.
Just Joe.
They used to have that guy who used to like meet wrestlers backstage and be like, "Oh, I heard someone was saying this about you. Oh, who are you? Oh, I'm Joe. Just Joe."
Hearsay Heath Slater. It's gonna be a thing.
Oh goodness. We had
That's good.
She did look pretty good, I gotta admit. We had a short little backstage back and forth between Goldust and Stardust. Just a little bit more of their bizarre talking. Stardust actually blows Stardust. He finds little, like, those gold stars that you put on children's tests when they get a good score. He just took a handful of those and blew them in the face of Goldust. I'm still digging it. JD called in earlier and said that they're being punished or something like that. I don't think it's that. I think it's just that we're kind of tired of seeing him face Ryback every week. So they're just letting him talk and stay on TV. And when it's time for them to go out there and have actual tag matches, maybe if the Wyatts win this Sunday, they'll be their first opponents to go after. Then that's cool. You know, as long as they're still around and they're doing their thing, I'm happy for them. Tony, what do you think?
This blows all right. Not a big fan of them doing this. I said it the past couple of weeks or so. They need to actually have them do something more. And I've lost so much faith in Stardust since the debut. I figured they were going to go in a much better direction than what they did. And they really just kind of went like, you're Stardust. You should have like a high-pitched voice. And we'll see in a month or so. Because this isn't doing it for me. The two people talking to each other about God knows what, because, I mean, it's the promos don't really matter. They don't have any kind of implications of any, you know, value in the future. And you're supposed to, I guess, think that Goldust is, like, sort of normal compared to him. But Cody's getting more into this idea of actually bringing stars into the concept. Like, he's talking about your face looks like a constellation or some weird shit, which is, like, a pickup line that you should use at the bar. And that ending with the Stardust thing, and he pulls out the little pattern on his hands, it's missing something. Like, if Goldust...
I think it needs his face in the little star.
Maybe, or he needs to end it with something else. Like, Goldust did the whole, you know, you'll never forget the name, Goldust, and then he did that, like, kind of thing that he's been doing a lot. Stardust is like, oh, that Stardust cat voice thing that he does, and he puts his fists up and then it just sort of fades out. Like, I'm expecting him to undo that and have like his face pop out and scare the crap out of Wego, because Wego doesn't like it when things zoom into the screen.
Goodness. Wego, did you are you a little more optimistic about this, or are you feeling the same as Tony?
Yes and no. I think it's a good thing that developing the characters whilst they don't have anything to do with them. My other issue is, why bring them up? Why have this gimmick change if you don't have nothing planned? That's another reason that I hope the Wyatt family take the belts, because I think a mix between the Dust Bunnies and the Wyatt family are going to be a lot of fun. They're both weird, they're both unique, and I don't know how they're going to interplay with each other, but I think the matches will be really awesome too. So I'm hoping we get a Wyatt family versus Dustbusters or Dust Bunnies or Dust whatever the fuck they're going to call themselves feud out of this. Tony says that Stardust is missing something. Do you remember that fucking creepy smile that Christian used to do when he was under DDP's wing? Maybe he can just do that type of thing.
I think it might have been awesome covered piano. Up by a blue dot, and I didn't see it.
No. Blue dots. Awesome piano man in the chat room saying, I'm waiting for Stardust to steal Rusev's star medal, credit to Wagor. Oh, and he follows it up with Dust Incredible. Awesome piano man on fire tonight. My gosh. We keep pulling stuff out of the chat room, but just want to remind you guys, we got the phone lines open for you. If you want to dial in, get your opinions heard with your voice, area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial with your cellular phone or landline if you're still living in the Stone Ages. Or you can join us via Skype by pressing the little Skype icon at the top of the page. We only got a few things left here to run down. We had Cesaro coming out with no Paul Heyman, which caused Mr. Steven Huego to have a little bit of a brain aneurysm for a moment. Jerry Lawler starts insinuating rumors that Paul Heyman quit, or he was fired, or Michael Cole said he was fired. I forget which one said which. One of them said one of them said the other. Kofi Kingston comes out with Big E for the match being Big E versus Cesaro. Cesaro starts doing this thing where he's grabbing chairs from under the ring, throws one at Kofi, goes to bring one in, but it causes him to get distracted somehow, allowing Big E to put on the big ending and get the pinfall victory for the third straight week in a row that Cesaro gets pinned. What the crap? The only way that I could possibly justify this in my mind is that whenever WWE likes to give someone a big push, they just make them lose and lose and lose before. And if that's not what they're doing here, then what the crap? I don't know. Tony, can you explain this?
I think it's that exact same thing. That's why Cesaro is still my number one pick for the Battle Royal. I don't know why they feel the need to do that and why they feel the need to make most money in the bank. People lose for months after they win it. But for some fucking reason, they do. And if anything, I think that that's probably what's happening. So I'm okay with it. And even if Cesaro doesn't necessarily win, I think that they can still salvage his career. It's not like losing a couple matches, you know, is going to really hurt him that much. If anything, that stupid-ass siren music is going to hurt him. Ugh. Or, you know, keeping the Paul Heyman thing going for too long will hurt him. Or, you know, a lot of other outside factors. This match, though, I was pretty interested in the fact that Kofi came out during it instead of just being a random Big E match, and then Kofi comes out to cause like a distraction at the end, and Wego would have been happy about that because then it would have been a distraction ending. But one credit that credit to you, Peyton, in the chat that we were doing earlier that I actually laughed at loud at your reference of another tag team, Kofi.
Well, I actually think these guys might be making a tag team, because I don't know if you noticed, but Big E had a little bit of a change to his tights, and they had those little triangles similar to how Kofi wears on his. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're making a tag team with those two. Kind of an odd way to do it, by having them both just beat Cesaro a few weeks in a row, but I'd be fine with that. I mean, both of them seem like they're kind of aimless, and you could always use more tag teams. I'm all for that.
Go for it. Maybe they could be Triangle Dust or something like that. But the whole Cesaro thing, I think he's still got a lot of legs behind him, and I don't know what they're doing, because a lot of these weird outside factors I had mentioned are odd. That weird robe that he's carrying around, they seem to really not know what kind of clothes to put him in. And the Paul Heyman thing, where Paul Heyman wasn't even out tonight, I don't know where they're going with this, but Cesaro's got a bright future ahead of him, so losing a couple of matches here and there to people like Kofi and Big E, not the end of the world.
I actually think this is an interesting thing to bring up here, and you already answered in the chat room, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Alex Moorhead in the chat saying, what the fuck is wrong with Kofi's chest? Wego, can you enlighten us on this?
Pectus excavatum, a fucking weird terminology, and the only reason I know is because I have it too. It's a big dent in your chest, relatively painless unless you've got it very severe, and Kofi doesn't, so...
Yep, from what I understand, it's basically like your breastplate is inside out. Is that essentially what it is?
It's the way that your rib bones are, it causes your chest to kind of come in fucked up.
Creepus on the radar says they're motorboating implants.
Damn it, he's onto us.
But yeah, that's an actual condition. Kofi has it. Chris Jericho actually also has it. And Scott Steiner, funny enough, even though he's built himself with so many muscles that his chest sticks out, he actually has that as well.
Fat.
And of course, our very own Steven Huego. But Huego, what did you think about our Big E Cesaro match here and the whole situation going down with that?
I'm not a fan of him losing matches. I don't care if it's to play into a storyline or not. At the end of the day, if you're building someone up, you need to have him constantly get momentum. So, not a big fan. I don't want him to win the IC Championship either. I want that to go to either The Miz or Bo Dallas. So, I don't know what they're doing with this. And as far as Paul Heyman goes, thank God he isn't fired, because that would have fucked me in the Fantasy League. But obviously they're building to him favoring Brock Lesnar, and that's probably why he drops Cesaro, because he's lost so much. I just don't know I don't understand why to have him lose constantly. I mean, they could have had Paul Heyman and Cesaro split up without him looking so weak, or at least have him lose to some credible opponents.
And not Kofi Kingston, who is making his first on-TV appearance in like 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, they could have had him lose to like fucking a Dean Ambrose or something. Where he's on the rise, or Roman Reigns, where he's on the rise, and it would have been okay. And Heyman could have got frustrated and split. I don't like what they're doing right now.
Well, I guess we just have to wait and see how it plays out. Like I said, hopefully this is just one of those things where they're having someone lose a bunch of matches before they get that big push. But we'll have to find out what goes down at Battleground, which, by the way, folks, if you have not gotten your free WWE Network preview, it's too late. 17 minutes past midnight, no longer available. You're going to have to pay the $9.99 actually using your credit card. Apologies, folks. We had Chris Jericho come down to the ring. He gives a really fun little like history lesson talking about all the things he's seen. Shawn Michaels, Michael Hayes, Lord Alfred Hayes, Lord Tensai. He just kept making these connections. Vintage Chris Jericho. Those are the types of little things he used to run on way back when. Loved it. Bray Wyatt eventually interrupts, sends Harper and Rowan to, quote, corner Jericho in the middle of the ring. Thanks, Michael Cole, for that one. Jericho manages to slide out and escape it, but is attacked behind from Bray Wyatt, who gives them a Sister Abigail on the top of the stage. Once again, just building a little bit more for their match coming up at Battleground, and that's all we can really say about that. But, Wago, any thoughts on that?
I'm loving it, and I know Tony isn't a fan of them doing this match at Battleground first, but I'm all for it. I think Chris Jericho should get a win at Battleground to one-up all these attacks and then put him over on a bigger stage at SummerSlam. I think the longer this feud is, the more it's going to benefit Bray when it ends. So, had a lot of fun with it. And I think Chris Jericho is going to stay on for Night of Champions, since they're trying to make that a big deal too. So, they could have a decider there.
The rubber match, mm-hmm. as they call it.
The rubber
Tony,
match.
I know you've been down about them doing this, but they are doing it. How do you think of how they're doing it?
Not well. I am not really that excited for it. And I think that we could have had the Miz match that I had been saying for a while and some teases with Bray Wyatt. And that little bit of extra couple of weeks would have put so much more behind this when they actually got to fight each other at SummerSlam. Now they're kind of rushing it a little bit. And you mean to tell me that they're going to have another match at SummerSlam that is going to be better than whatever they have at Battleground? Well, you've already knocked out the idea that this is a first-time meeting. So what are you going to do? You're going to do a gimmick match? Well, I've sat through a bunch of gimmick matches already this year. Bray Wyatt isn't really the most athletic guy out of the bunch. I mean, he's more athletic than he should be, but he's not going to be flipping off ladders like all crazy. A Last Man Standing match between the two will be boring as fuck, because Last Man Standing matches are like that. You can start knocking down a lot of the gimmick matches, the stretcher ones, the ambulance matches, and whatever. You're really running out of options that it's going to make me excited to see something at SummerSlam. So I'm kind of thinking that they shot themselves in the foot with this one. And I got a feeling these two have better chemistry on the mic, and they haven't really done anything like that yet, and that they'll have terrible chemistry in the ring.
They've actually wrestled before. I don't know if you've seen the match.
Nope.
Wasn't bad.
It was on NXT, right?
Mm-hmm. And that was back when Bray was a little less seasoned. So after working with some higher talent, I've got all the confidence in the world.
Bray's got some good genes in him. So I think he's a very naturally talented guy. And Chris Jericho, of course, is just a legend and a complete pro from all the years he's been with it. I'm confident in the match. As long as they don't just try to get too hokey with it, they don't try to get the Harper and Rowan involved too much, and Bray doesn't just keep doing that stupid backwards spider walk thing too damn much, I think it could be good. Just don't overbook it. Don't try to make it too, I guess comedy isn't the word, but just hokey. Same word I used before. Don't make it hokey. I'm going to pull something out of the chat room here, unrelated to this. Awesome Piano Man asking a question. Curious now if Brock is going to be facing John Cena, as, you know, of course, everyone is believing is going to happen. How would you book Batista? Now, I'm not sure what he means, if he means, like, how would I book Batista for SummerSlam? Because I don't expect Batista to be a part of SummerSlam. But how would I book him coming back? I don't know. Tony, how would you book that?
I'm going to do a little crossover here with fanboys. Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out, and that's the new movie that Batista is working with. I do not like Guardians of the Galaxy as a fan of the Marvel comics. But I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'm going to give them a little bit more credit than they might deserve. They might end up, you know, making me eat my own words and might end up being a good movie. But I think if WWE plays their cards right, you can get a really good combination of marketing. Have Batista come out as a babyface dressed up as Drax from the movie.
Oh,
I'm dead serious about this, because, listen, it's kind of stupid, but WWE would do this, and it could be pulled off. You have him do something like that to try to promote the movie, and you can't have like Brock Lesnar or, you know, somebody really like serious to end up doing this, because then that kind of loses the whole point. But the Authority is going to be mad that Batista left. So who do they send to do the bidding of, you know, beat the shit out of Batista? Kane. Kane is not somebody who is really worth a damn right now. And he's kind of a gimmicky character on his own. Kane versus Batista in the whole Drax get-up thing, some kind of a mid-card match on SummerSlam card. It gets promotion for Guardians of the Galaxy. Marvel starts presenting a whole bunch of WWE stuff, gets the attention of the network. Hey, if you guys are interested in this, you might be interested in that too. I think it's kind of one of those things that a lot of people would roll their heads and roll their eyes over. They're rolling their heads. Problem.
I'd roll my head if they fucking did right. That. The idea sounds stupid as shit.
I think it's something that would be stupid, but it could work. And WWE is not in a position where they can't try stuff like that.
You know, as if there isn't enough blue Tista jokes, you're going to have them come out in like green body paint. So maybe now they can make fun of him being another color. Creepa's on the radar saying, and Tony has jumped the shark. an awesome piano man saying, hey, Sandow was Magneto and X-Men ended up making a ton of money. I don't know if that was related.
APM's got my back.
I like Alex Moorhead's comment that this is a fail.
Wago, what would you do with Batista? Not that.
No. The only thing that makes sense is if you're going to bring him, if we're talking about the current time span, you're going to have him come in, scrawling out of Battleground's main event, and build from there. Orton's the only guy that makes any sense for him. Unfortunately, Orton's also tied up in a program with Roman Reigns, so that means you'd have to transition Reigns into that Triple H match. So it's doable, but he left leaving Evolution. He should come back as a face fighting Evolution.
I would definitely expect him to come back as a face. I think that final segment where he, you know, just went stone face and did the wave as he left, people loved that. And, you know, they tried to bring him back as a baby face the first time. Well, not the first time, but earlier this year. And it flopped because that's not who people want. People wanted Daniel Bryan. If you can do it at a time where people are not wanting something else, I think people will buy him as a baby face. You know, people loved Batista when he left the last time, and people liked him when he was on his way out now. So I think you could pull that off. And I would agree with you, Wago. I think the perfect person to put him against would be Orton, because he left ditching Evolution. And of course, they just have all their history between each other as well. I don't need to see Batista Cena. I don't even particularly care too much about Batista Brock Lesnar anymore either. So maybe Orton, maybe Triple H. That's about all I could go with that.
You know what I think killed the Lesnar vs. Batista vibe a lot is when he came back, he didn't look like a monster anymore. He looked significantly smaller, and honestly, Orton looks bigger than him now. So that the whole vibe of all these powerhouse vs. powerhouse matches has been killed. I think he's lost a lot of stock.
It's a very, very good point. Awesome Piano Man says, what else you got going on for SummerSlam? I'm in for Drax Tista.
I'm Smart more in for that presents than another Randy Orton match, that's for sure.
Or heaven forbid, an Alberto Del Rio match.
Well, then at that point, I'm not even fucking watching the pay-per-view.
Well, for once, let's discuss something less ridiculous. The Divas match. Yeah. We had Paige out on commentary for AJ Lee versus Eva Marie. Eva Marie? The crap? Since when does she get singles matches on WWE TV?
Did you see that look that she gave to the camera when they announced her? She gave this look to the camera of like, yeah, it's me. I don't get it either.
AJ Lee ends up getting the victory with this, with the Black Widow. She then heads over to Paige, sitting at the announce desk, just like sits Indian style on the desk itself, takes JBL's headset. They talk back and forth, trading compliments about each other's hair and smiling. Like has a small moment of awkward silence, and then he's just like, okay, bye. And leaves. This is different, and I like it. And it doesn't come off fake, because you know what? I went to high school, and this is what all the girls were like. Smiling to each other's faces when they truly inside hated each other's guts. I think this might be the most realistic diva storyline they've ever done. But Wago, I know you were the one who was feeling a little unsure about it earlier. What do you think?
Now that I've had
time to digest it and you put it into those words, I'm going to agree and I'm going to give it a chance. It's definitely interesting. And who the fuck gave Period Head a match? Jesus Christ.
Some tampon. I don't know. Tony.
That's a terrible image in my mind right now. I got to agree. You know, I didn't think about it in that regard of the whole the high school drama thing, but that really makes it seal the deal. I do like this, and I do think that it's got a lot of legs. There's definitely a lot of potential behind it.
Yeah, and, I see lots of legs.
Yeah, it's true. But you know what? What else is also good about that is not only is it something different, but it's something that isn't trying too hard to be different. You're not really getting something where they're going over the top and they're beating you over the head with it. They're trying to.
It's not Alicia Fox pouring soda on herself and taking JBL's hat and screaming at the crowd. That's too far.
Like, they're doing it in a subtle enough way that some people probably are not even getting it right now. Some people are probably like, oh, these guys, yeah, they probably are friends. Yeah, you know. And those people are going to be so much more pumped when they actually do that kind of a turn and Paige becomes like, you know, a real bitch. Because they won't have seen it coming. And the people that will have seen it coming will be like, ah, cool. All right. They actually went with this. And, you know, we've got a little bit more meat to the storyline than just the typical thing where AJ wins the title and then Paige is mad and then they wrestle a couple times in tag matches. And, you know, so it's interesting what's going to end up happening with this and how they're going to play this out at Battleground, because something's going to come to a head then.
Yep. All right. We had our Bo Dallas match of the night. He just seems to be making his little spot in the later part of the show. And I don't know if it's just because they're noticing how much he's getting over with the crowd or what, but it's an awkward place to put the comedy thing, but I don't care. I'm liking it, and I'm happy that he's getting all this exposure. He has a match against the Great Khali, but first he tells the crowd that although El Torito was small, his heart is huge. Such an inspirational guy, that Bo Dallas. This match with Great Khali was absolute shit, and luckily it ended pretty fast. He actually gets creative with the Bo Dog by doing it outside the ring while Khali is standing on the ground and he's up on the apron. I was wondering how they were going to try to be able to set that up. So good for them. Knocks Khali on the outside for a countout victory for Bo Dallas. And couldn't have booked that better. Props to them. Bo Dallas goes for his victory lap out round the ring. He goes up to Khali to give his post-match inspirational speech, but Khali has none of that, slaps him down, and Bo Dallas's reaction face, as always, just amazing. I said the line earlier where after Khali hits him with a bunch of chops, he does a few chops on Khali too. He's like, bad giant. It's a bad giant.
They smack him on the head.
This was fantastic. I never thought I would enjoy a Khali match so much. Tony, what do you got to think about that?
I'm loving Bo Dallas. And the best part of this whole thing is after he gets that chop and he just goes, ow. That's what you would fucking say. It's just like, god damn it, that hurt.
The fuck?
Right, stop. You ass. That was fucking hilarious. And Bo Dallas is the fucking man. And if they don't give the IC title to Cesaro or The Miz, give it to him, because it'll just be gold.
And we can keep the whatever victories in Bo counter going along with the Intercontinental title and hopefully get the return of the Honk-O-Meter. Wayo, what do you got to say about this?
I loved it. And I'm surprised I loved the Khali match, but it's more that I love Bo Dallas's character. It was fun as hell. Didn't get too much of a victory lap, but the chop bit made it worth it.
I just love when he goes for those victory laps. He's like, I did it! Yeah! I did it!
My favorite Bo moment still, other than knocking El Torito down, was when he slides out the ring and just screams, I'm winning!
Yeah. I think my favorite Bo moment is when he was having a match against R-Truth. And when R-Truth is coming down to the ring, shucking and jiving to his music, it cuts to Bo Dallas in the ring, and he's dancing to the music too.
I gotta say one of my favorite Bo moments, because I'm not gonna say Bo moment, was the Butterfingers.
Oh, me Butterfingers. good Boba. Guy's only been around for, what, 2 months, and we're already, like, having all these amazing memories of him. What's the end for Bo Dallas?
There is no end.
I'm trying to think of a Bo pun, but I can't come up with anything.
Well, it's we had a few backstage segments throughout the night with the Authority talking to various people involved with the final match at Battleground. Kane and Randy Orton are at each other's throats saying they don't trust each other. Randy Orton comes in saying that I'm the only plan you need. You don't need a plan B. Eventually, Seth Rollins comes in saying, don't worry. If Kane and Randy Orton don't get the job done, plan B is ready. And at the end of the night, Paul Heyman comes in and says, well, if none of those end up working out for you and you need a plan C, I'm your man to talk to. Which just sets everyone ablaze, wondering what could he possibly mean? What could possibly be in store at Battleground involving Paul Heyman? Why wasn't he there for Cesaro and he was here during this? So many questions easily made from this one short segment. Tony, how has all this left you feeling?
We're going to get more and more letters thrown in. Plan D Brian is going to pop up. Then Plan Big E is going to pop up. And it's just going to get so far fucking crazy that we're going to lose track of the letters and, you know. But,
and eventually we come to Plan Long Island Dice Z.
There you go.
That's what this all is leading to.
And Chris Dace will have a whole lot of fun. This just seems like it's a Brock Lesnar setup for me. John Cena retains at Battleground. He comes out the Raw after Battleground and he celebrates or, you know, listens to the crowd half boo him, whatever you could call it. And Brock Lesnar comes out, beats the shit out of him. Same thing that happened before when he did that after WrestleMania. And then they go, you know, well, plan A didn't work. Plan B ran into a situation and here's plan C. I think that's all it is. I don't think it's really that intricate.
Hmm. Wago, you got any different thoughts about it?
Battleground main event, we have John Cena come out on top, Seth Rollins' music hits, he gets fucked by Dean Ambrose, and after the match, Brock Lesnar lays out John Cena. I think that's all what it's leading up to. As far as him leaving Cesaro, I think that's just to plant the seeds for Cesaro versus Brock Lesnar down the road. Might just be a B pay-per-view match, but it's something.
It's going to be a C pay-per-view match?
Maybe Heyman just got caught in traffic.
You're saying that he's going to get fucked by Dean Ambrose. Are you positive he's not going to get fucked by Del Rio the way that he was looking at that Intercontinental title?
He has an attraction for gold things, apparently.
Watch out, Gold Dust.
Fuck, dude.
Oh, gosh.
Gold Dust might like it. His character's a bit bizarre.
Alex Moorhead in the chat. Eat, call, however, repeat. That's good. Very good. We had Ric Flair in the house tonight. Comes out for a very short little interview with the ever gorgeous Renee Young. And if you think I'm being pervy about Renee Young, you should have heard Ric Flair out there. My goodness. If I wanted to see old men perv on young blondes, I'd watch Legend's House.
Ashley.
Renee.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, Ric Flair still got it. The crowd was wooing to him. He was having lots of fun in the ring there. It was very short and didn't particularly mean anything. It was just basically Ric Flair coming out to say hi. Roman Reigns interrupts him to come down to the ring for the main event match. So Ric Flair decides, oh, well, I was still talking, but here you go, Roman. I'm not going to stop you. Ric Flair walks up to the top of the ramp, sees John Cena coming out, starts bowing at John Cena, which I'm sure just made the internet ablaze with pissed offness. John Cena hands the big gold belt to Ric Flair and raises his hand up in the air with it, which was, I think that was a cool little moment. I mean, that's the belt that Ric Flair was famous for having and technically the one that he still has possession of. Oh no, I think he gave it to Triple H as a gift. Well, whatever. In my hopeful world, hopefully this is just a way of explaining how they got rid of that ugly gold belt and only have one belt again, because I am tired of seeing John Cena walking around with that scarf thing he's wearing. Looks stupid.
I'm pretty confident it was, I am sick of holding this shit. See ya.
So make the old man carry your heavy bags. That makes sense.
Hey, he's got IRS bills to pay, so why not?
So, Tony, you got anything to say about Ric Flair's appearance here?
I didn't like it. I hate to be a downer, but I'm not the biggest Flair fan out there. When Flair comes out, it's not like, yeah, you know, I'm not doing the bow thing that a lot of people do. Flair needs more substance than just going out there and doing a half-assed strut and saying woo. And having him come out and just say, oh, man, I don't know who's going to win the match, but John Cena's cool, huh? Nah? All right, see you guys. Not a big deal. Because it's really all he did. I mean, you know, there wasn't really anything of a setup for him coming back in the future. There wasn't anything with the potential of him being the manager of Miz or Ziggler like we've been hearing. He didn't fuck Renee. Like, he didn't do anything, really. So having Ric Flair out, I mean, you could have taken him completely out of this episode and just had Renee sitting there with that awesome dress on that made her look fantastic. I would have gotten the same amount of pleasure out of watching this segment. And actually, in the chat that we were talking, which we usually do throughout the episode, as soon as Roman Reigns came out, in all caps, I just said, spear the fuck out of Flair, because that would have been great if you would have done that. Just have Roman Reigns, you get into the ring, spear Flair, move on to the next segment, because they ended it a really awkward way. I mean, Reigns gets into the ring, and Flair's just sort of like, oh, it's time for the match? All right, I guess I'll leave. And then Cena comes out and goes, yeah, you want the belt? And he's like, sure, I could get some money for this. And then, you know, walk out.
Well, yeah, since HighSpots.com won't give me my NWA title back, I'll just sell this.
Gonna go give this to Del Rio. He really likes those gold belts.
Awesome Piano Man making a really good point. They really wasted two legends in 2 weeks. Bret Hart last week and Ric Flair this week fell flat big time. I got to agree. You have these big legends in the house, and just having them come out there and say hi, at least have them put over somebody. And neither of them really did that. I mean, you know, Bret Hart gave Sheamus a fist bump. Ric Flair said John Cena's going to win. John Cena really didn't need that. No one really benefited out of this, out of these two guys being there. And what I really would have liked to see, there was all these rumors going on about Sting, and we were going to have Ric Flair in the building. Why couldn't we have done something with Ric Flair and Sting? Those guys have such a history together. That was the last match ever on WCW TV. Hold on, Wago, what were you about to say?
Oh, I totally forgot now.
No. Okay, we got anything to say about this segment?
Nah, I already said everything I needed to say.
Nah, Wago.
Oh, thanks, Tony.
Yeah, spear the fuck out of Flair. I'm good.
Okay. Awesome Piano Man, truly, with them showing up, I really want to get that WWE Network preview, said no one. not even much worth saying about this. Our main event was supposed to be the six-man tag, but because of Dean Ambrose being taken out earlier, became a handicap match. John Cena and Roman Reigns against Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, and Kane. As per usual, main event completely lost my interest, and as predicted, the match ended in a schmoz disqualification ending. Roman Reigns accidentally spearing John Cena, which would have been way cooler if he did it on purpose, and then Randy Orton purposefully RKOing Kane. And, Roman Reigns comes in and spears Randy Orton. That's our last image of the show. Just a typical way to set up a match like this at a pay-per-view, and I just really did not buy it at all. Tony, how'd this affect you?
Reigns spearing Cena and then spearing Orton has nowhere near the effect of if he would have just speared Flair. Because I didn't actually pay attention to a single minute of this match. Which has kind of been a running theme lately, because whenever they do these kind of tag matches, you know that it's going to be the same typical stuff. So why bother? You know, I got shit I got to do. So I'm going to do that shit instead.
Yeah, I got a lot I got to do to set up for the show. I can't remember. Actually, last week's main event held my interest for a minute because I really wanted to see how Seth Rollins was going to fare in the main event. But then after I saw he wasn't carrying it very well, I tuned back out. And besides that, I can really not remember the last time I gave a flying fuck about the main event of Raw. And that's just terrible. You know, it seems like we're starting to enjoy the first match of the show way more than the last match of the show. I'm pretty sure we've said that every week for like the last month.
I don't think it's even the wrestling quality is bad. I think you're just burnt out by that time because you're not watching 3 hours of Raw. You're watching 3 hours and 15 fucking minutes of the shit. It's taxing.
Yeah.
I don't have the human brain, like, as far as subjects go in school, they've done a test. It's like, you're not really meant to concentrate on one subject for more than 2 hours. Otherwise, you don't take in the information as much. So, it's like, when it comes to the main event, I remember watching it. Can't tell you what the fuck happened. I don't know who won.
It was just a DQ. I don't think anybody won. JD had mentioned this before, that Seth Rollins looked like he was hurt at one point. Awesome Piano Man saying, breaking news, Seth Rollins was X'd while clutching his knee. And, of course, that means the referees do the X with their hands, which is supposed to signal when someone is actually hurt as opposed to just faking it. Yeah, I'm breaking down the walls for you guys. I'm sorry. But,
oh, man, I thought there was just DX fans.
The reason I'm just saying that is because we had that question earlier, is Seth Rollins hurt? That gives a little more grievance to that fact that maybe he can be not good. Bad timing. Very bad timing. When we're already putting enough hurdles against Seth Rollins, saying he's not going to be able to carry it, if he gets an injury on himself, I would say it's very easy for WWE to lose complete faith in him if that happens. Wago, what do you think about that?
They might be able to, if it's only a minor injury, they might be able to get themselves out of a hole here, because they can always say, oh, Dean Ambrose is too injured after the attack, he can't wrestle, so the match is off. And that gives time for Seth to recover, and they just book it for SummerSlam. So it might not be the end of the world. It really depends on what comes out of this whole thing.
Well, I believe they said it was a leg injury. Leg injuries usually take a while. They don't rehab as fast.
You cut out for me. What did you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe they're saying it was a leg injury, and leg injuries usually are some of the ones that take the longest to heal because of how much you use them. They don't rehab as fast.
It depends what it is. Is it just a pulled muscle? Is it an actual tear? Need more information on it.
That's very true. Once again, as I was saying before, I think we might just have to wait it out and see what they got to say. And it could just been part of it. You know, I mean, doesn't seem like a spot where they would bring up the X as part of a story because they didn't really bring any focus to it, but I don't know. Tony, you got anything you want to add to this? Oh, go ahead, Wago. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing with the X. And back when I had a seminar from Nick Dean, it's more Eugene, whatever you want to call him, he was on about a time where all Batista did was roll his ankle, but it was painful enough where they couldn't stop the couldn't continue the match, so they had a smudge finish and the referee threw up the X. Just because they throw up the X doesn't mean it's going to be a serious issue. It could just be something as simple as rolling your ankle. So until there's an actual report, I'm not going to read too much into it.
Tony, you got anything you want to add to that?
Just goes to show you, man, don't do those little nudges. It's going to hurt your leg.
Awesome Piano Man. Once again, with breaking news, Del Rio is boring.
Oh, fuck, man. Really?
Oh, and with that, folks, we're going to be heading into the last thing we do here. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what our favorite part of the show tonight was, our least favorite part of tonight's show, and what we thought was the most horridly wretched and embarrassing thing on tonight's show. So let me go around to the hosts here. Tony, what was your good, bad, and ugly?
Good goes to the Russian detente segment, because that was one of the only things throughout the whole night that kept my attention from very beginning to the very end of it. And got me more excited for Battleground than what it was before. Bad, I could have given it to the jumping the Usos thing and not having a match, but instead I'm going to give it to something that actually was a match, and I'm just going to quote Drew there that it was a match. Del Rio versus RVD, because the more that they do those two against each other, the more that they're going to keep doing it, and they need to stop. And the ugly is going to go to Stephanie McMahon's dress. She looked like she was wearing a fucking cloth from an old army cot or something, and that was terrible.
Not just an army cot, but one that got, like, mangled and faded.
It's one that's seen war.
Yeah.
It used to be with Zeb Coulter on the front line.
Oh, Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good is going to Bo, and just for his performance, he was funny as hell tonight. Honorable mentions is Seth Rollins' new finishing move, the nudge. As far as my bad goes, it's going to have to go to... I didn't like the ending of that fucking Divas match. Not the Divas match, the Fandango versus Dolph Ziggler match. I don't really like where they're going with this whole Diva dancing interference bullshit. And the ugly has to go to the Damian Sandow segment. I mean, the fuck?
My good, bad, and ugly. The good, I actually have to kind of split it with, and I swear I'm not just stealing these from you guys, both the detente segment and Bo Dallas tonight. I honestly can't choose. The Bo Dallas was so hilariously funny, but the detente was just so fun. And you know what made it so much more fun was the crowd. If that crowd was flat during that segment, I don't know if it would have been as enjoyable, but because they were so hot when Lana was talking and when they all stood and said, "We the people," together, it was great. It was one of those, almost felt like an Attitude Era moment with how crazy the crowd was during that. My bad, I have to give to that Ric Flair segment. Just an absolute waste of the legend of Ric Flair. And I'm not huge on Ric Flair. I do think he's a little overrated through the annals of time, but no doubting that he is one of the biggest names throughout the history of the business, and just a complete misuse of bringing him onto the TV. At least have him hang out with The Miz again and, like, you know, be like, "Hey, you little fucker, I gave you the figure four and you messed it up, and now you're doing this whole schmaltzy Hollywood gimmick. Screw you." That would have been a better use of Ric Flair. Nope. And my ugly, of course, has to go to that stupid Sonic commercial with Damian Sandow and Adam Rose. You know, Sandow's, I think, is okay. He's on TV every week. He's still doing these parody gimmicks, and I think he's going to continue doing that for a while, and I think it is leading somewhere. I think that gets a lot of unjustified hate, and people just need to be patient with it. Adam Rose, on the other hand, get the fuck off my TV. I'm done with you. I can't even, like, sing your stupid song anymore. It's not even catchy. I'm over it. It was fun for a while. It's done. And you can't send that guy back to NXT. Can't do nothing with him. So, bye-bye.
Hey, you can fire him.
Exactly. Pull one out of the chat here. Alex Moorhead saying the good was Flair. Wow. And Bo. The bad was fucking Cena, and ugly, the finding of the World Heavyweight Championship. I know it was lost. Well, I guess it's lost now. An awesome piano man saying the good was the World Heavyweight title being given away. The bad was the Ric Flair segment, and the ugly was the Nikki Bella match. With that, folks, that's a show. We only got about 10 minutes here, and we're going to be ending a little bit early. But first, I want to give all the hosts here an opportunity to tell you about some of the other things rocking their world right now. Wago, what's rocking?
All right. For all your Fight Night Dublin coverage for the UFC, check out UDMMA.com, Facebook.com/UDMMA, and Twitter.com/UDMMA. Also, we've got a Cowboy Bebop review coming up for Mega Powers Radio. For all your information on that, go to Facebook.com/AddictedAnimeFans.
Tony?
SmarkOutMoment.com. Go ahead and check that out. We're going to be doing live coverage of Battleground, so you can chat alongside that and check that out. Smack Talk you can find on YouTube.com/SmarkOutMoment and iTunes and Stitcher. The next coming episode is going to be Battleground Predictions, so we're going to break down everything that they have announced for that, even the pre-show itself. Also, stay tuned. We're going to do a live edition of Smack Talk coming up August 9th, Saturday, I think 8 p.m., maybe 9 p.m. I'm not 100% sure what time yet. That is going to be very similar to what we have here for the Raw Post Show. So if you had fun tonight, then make sure you mark your calendars for that, because you'll be able to call in live and talk about whatever you want to talk about. And we'll be answering mailbag questions and everything else like that. And for Fanboys Anonymous and everything else under AmangoTree, just go to amangotree.com and links are all over the place there.
All right, folks, if you enjoyed the show tonight, be sure to be a good giant, not a bad giant, and join us every single Monday night here on MegaPowersRadio.com for our Raw post show. As I said, we're here every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw, and you should be too. But if for any reason you cannot be, the show is available in archive form. Head to SmarkOutMoment.com is the easiest place to find it, where you'll also find links to our YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher feeds, so you can subscribe and automatically receive it every single time that there's a new episode. Also, as Tony said, be sure to join us for the live edition of Smark Out Moments Smack Talk coming to Mega Powers Radio on August 9th. whatever he said. And of course, this Friday's edition of Smack Talk, where we're going to be giving our predictions for the upcoming Battleground pay-per-view. If you want to hear us talk more about that, we gave little teasers throughout the show, but if you want to hear every single prediction, it'll be on there. And please join our official Facebook group. I've been trying to push this a lot more lately because some of y'all need to get in there. I'm going to drop a link in the chat room in just a moment, but it's facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. That's where you could talk to us all throughout the week in case Monday nights wasn't enough for you. Talk with us about absolutely anything you want to. It's an open group, so have fun with that. And I guess that's all I'm going to push for tonight. I've talked your guys' ear enough. Oh my goodness, getting all tongue-tied right at the end here. Talked your guys' ears off enough, so we'll have to talk to you guys next time here on Mega Powers Radio. For Steven Huego, for Tony Mango, I'm Mike Payton, and we'll see you guys next time.